listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
Title this morning, What Will Never Change in the Course of This Year? What will never change? I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to open up to Hebrews chapter number 6, and we're going to look at verses 17 and verses 18 together this morning. Actually, I'm going to be reading out of the English Standard Version, and here's what the writer says for us today. He says, so when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. An oath is largely a promise, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled the refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that is set before us. It's a powerful passage of God's word. And herein is an important an unchangeable truth to treasure in your heart for this new year, 2023. I want you to lock into the idea that God is a promiser. That is, God makes promises. And he makes promises to us. And he'll never stop keeping his word, and he'll never stop fulfilling his promises. In Hebrews chapter 6, it reveals that God's goal in making promises is so we'd be strong and we'd be encouraged to hold on and stay the course as believers in the time frame that he has given us on planet Earth. You need to be convinced that God is committed to helping you lay a hold of the promises that he has made to you. And I might say, the promises that he has delivered to us in whatever fashion here at Cornerstone Church, prophetically and otherwise. On that being said, keep in mind it is our responsibility to find out what those promises are that God has delivered to us. So this morning, I want to say that God gives promises because he knows they will give us strength in the journey. And secondly, he wants to impress upon us the unchangeable character of those promises. So you can be confident and solid in what you believe about him. God doesn't want you wavering, and he doesn't want us wandering through life. He doesn't want us doubting, and he doesn't want us faltering in our faith. He is in fact saying, go after the Christian life with confidence. Are you living like that? Are you confident in the journey? Take a hold of what he has for you with conviction. I feel I'm imparting to you something this morning that is likened to the fact that you could hang on to a real clear word from God, and you can march out of this place individually and we together as a corporate body with confidence that God is with us. And he is unfolding to us a directive that comes from the throne room of God. God is saying, I want you to have full assurance right to the end. So don't give up or back up. And don't quit, for goodness sakes. Don't quit. You can read many pages of Scripture, and you'll discover that God has fulfilled promise after promise after promise throughout history. Let me review some of those for you this morning. How many remember that God promised that one of Eve's offspring would crush the serpent? How many remember that in Genesis chapter 3? That was so clear to me, because it spoke of the fact that Jesus would come years later and he would bring destruction to the enemy. And he clearly did that. He promised Noah that he would never again destroy the world by a flood. And every time you look around and you see a rainbow, that rainbow is in the sky to remind you that God kept his promise with Noah. He promised innumerable descendants to Abraham. And we today are the beneficiaries of that. We are spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham. Don't have a whole lot of time to get into the explanation of how that has fleshed out to our very day, but it's a truth. God promised to deliver the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. And God raised up a Moses to do that. For years, Israel was in bondage, and then God delivered them and led them to the promised land. He promised the people of Israel blessings for keeping the law and curses for disobeying his word. That story is an amazing story, because Moses led the people of Israel to the brink of crossing the Jordan River. And then Joshua takes over, crosses the Jordan, takes the people into the flat region of the Jericho. And Joshua leads the people up the ascending hills of Judea to a region known as Samaria. And in that region, Joshua reminds the people of the blessings and the cursings of God. But there's an interesting point to this story, because before Joshua actually got involved, the last time Moses got the people together before he turned responsibilities over to Joshua, he says this. He says it's about time, almost time, for you to cross this Jordan River and claim the land that the Lord has given you. And then he adds, when you get there, listen carefully, when you get there, go to the twin hills of Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Just a minute here. How did Moses know there was a Mount Gerizim and a Mount Ebal? Because Moses hadn't been to Israel yet. You see, God came to Moses and gave Moses a promise for the children of Israel. And when they crossed the Jordan and climbed the hills of the Judea, they come to Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And Joshua crawls on the hillside of Mount Gerizim. And there he pronounces the blessings to come to the people of Israel if they will keep his commands. And then Joshua crawls off that mountain, goes through the valley, and climbs on the other side where Mount Ebal is. And he pronounces the curses that would come on the people of God if they did not honor God's word. Moses says, when you get there, go to the twin hills, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Stand on the mountains and remind everyone about the Lord's blessings from Mount Ebal, and remind them about the curses that come. Church, this all happened because God promised deliverance for the people of Israel. And furthermore, he kept his promise. He promised victory over the Canaanites, and it came to pass. He promised an everlasting throne to David's descendants in 2 Samuel chapter number 7. By the way, Jesus on Mary's side is a direct descendant of David. God kept his promise. Jesus is not only our Savior, he's not only our Lord, but he is our King, and he's establishing his kingdom on this earth, and we get to do it with him. Wow, what a promise. And these examples are just the beginning. We're just scratching the surface. The Bible is overflowing with promises that God has made and that God has kept. In fact, the central theme of the scripture is one big promise. In the Old Testament, we see the promise of a coming Messiah. In the New Testament, we see the Messiah arrives and makes another promise, and that he's coming back. So God has a promise for you. If you thought God has never made you a promise, you can bank on that one promise, that Jesus is coming back. He's promised that to you. But I'm not done yet with the promises that he has made to you. Besides that promise, the entire communication with us could be summed up in two words. God says, I promise. The persistence of God's pledge is also true to us personally. He wants you as an individual to be so familiar with his character and live so confidently in your faith that you can say, I know what God is going to do. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it. But you can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that I will walk by faith and believe that he will deliver on his promise. So, question mark here. Are you trusting? Are we trusting in the Lord with all of our heart? Or do we all too often fix our eyes on the circumstances of life? And by the way, what that will do, it'll cause us to waver every time. Always remember, God wants you to have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before you. In fact, God amazingly tells us, his children, we are the heirs of his promise. Don't have time to unpack that humongous truth this morning. But if you belong to him, and I'm sure the most of you do, your whole identity is tied up in the promises that he's made to you. So isn't it time that we live that way? It's called faith. It's a walk of faith. The Christian life includes walking by faith from the first day of your greatest problem to the final day when he reveals his most amazing solution to you. From that A to that Z, it's a walk of faith. So I'm going to encourage you to make it your intention this year to test and track how God keeps his promises to you. And be encouraged by his faithfulness. I want to leave you three things quickly. Number one, that we've been called to walk by faith. Never lose sight of that very important foundational truth to the Christian journey. When you get your eyes off Jesus, things begin to falter. You sink in the water. You start believing you're never going to make it. You wonder if there's any hope. But we've been called to live by faith. Doesn't matter what the United States government hands you or doesn't hand you. It's a walk by faith. Our trust is in the Lord our God. It's not in our government. It's not in your money. It's not in your status. It's a walk of faith. We are the children of the Most High God, and we'll operate as children of the Most High God. Can I hear an amen? Number two, lay claim to God's promise, the promises that he made to you. That is, whether it has come to you prophetically or whether you've been reading God's word and a truth pops up, a promise to your Christian journey, or maybe God has whispered something into your soul as a promise from him. Lay claim to God's promise for you. And finally, here it is. leave the rest to God. He's put you on a course that he can most confidently direct you to the destination. So allow God to grow your faith this year. And I want you to find out how God wants to grow you. For starters, take a look. In your program this morning, there's this whole list of things that Debbie and I walked through. How you can involve yourself in small groups and some opportunities to connect and grow in your faith in God. So get involved. Don't be like the one that watches the parade go by. Get involved. Grow. Mature. Get strengthened so that you can be an instrument of change and bring that message of hope to people. And keep holding fast to the hope set before you, even when times get difficult. We look back on the COVID season. We can evaluate. We can look at how we as a church, how we as individuals have navigated that. But I'm here to tell you, our message hasn't changed. We're a people of faith. We're going to believe God through the darkest moments. When people and institutions throw curveballs, we as a church will keep our eyes on Jesus and he'll direct our paths. And at the end of the day, we're going to keep trusting in the faithfulness of God. So he has spoken to you. And you say, Pastor, how has he spoken to me? Well, he may have spoken to you in a specific way. Over the years of your life, some of you have received a word from the Lord. It's a word that has come to you. Maybe it's come to you about your family, about the salvation of your household. It may have come to you specifically in terms of some changes you need to make and some directives from God to you specifically, but God has nonetheless spoken to you. Then on the other side of the coin, he has spoken to you in general terms. Like what? Well, that he's coming back. And he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. That means we need to apply ourselves to the message. He's not coming for a faithless church. He's coming for a bold, victorious church. A church without spot and wrinkle. How many see that we need to apply ourselves to that message? Clean up our lives so that we can present ourselves as a holy, chaste bride for the King of Kings. So you're choosing this day, this very day, to believe God and to walk by faith. I believe we're going to have a tremendous year, 2023. Amazing victories. What you heard about John and what you heard about Jeff and what you heard about Ben's testimony about the gal who had a hole in her heart and today she has no hole in her heart. That's just the tip of the iceberg, church. God wants to do amazing things. He wants to do amazing things in Grace Harbor. There have been so many promises by God for Grays Harbor. Aren't you glad you live in Grays Harbor and you can participate with God in what He has promised for Grays Harbor? Come on, church. There's so many things that we can be engaged in. So much yet to be done. But I want you to focus on Jesus every step of the way. And I can be a little biased on this, but make plans to be a part of the Sunday night series Chosen. Because you're going to get, if you haven't yet seen any of those episodes, you're going to get an amazingly different picture of Jesus than perhaps you grew up with. And as a pastor, your pastor, I feel compelled, literally, to deliver to you the authentic Jesus, the real Jesus. How many are waiting for the real Jesus to step up in your life? Not a man-made Jesus, but one that carries the heart of the Father and love oozes from His being. I want you to stand with me this morning. And I want you to position yourself and posture yourself in such a way that you want to surrender your entire being to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and let Jesus have His way. I do want to encourage you to sign up for some of these small groups because they're designed to help you in your journey. And you need help. I need help. We can't do this by ourselves. So make the effort. Make the sacrifice. Apply yourself. And let's get on with God. How many know this is a work of faith, a journey of faith? We're going to believe God. And God has some amazing things that He's promised for us in the days to come. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, today, as we stand in this room, every person here standing, I look around, Lord, hands lifted to You. Hands lifted to You today. Simply saying, Lord, we want to embrace You. We want to embrace Your promise. We want to walk by faith and not by sight anymore. We want to hear Your Spirit speak into our life and offer us direction so that we can be effective world changers. We can change the culture. We can change Grays Harbor. We can be a reflection of Your love and grace. So let that be the case here today as we avail ourselves to You. And Lord, You can count on the fact that we're all in. We're all in. We desire to be Your followers. We pray in Your name. Amen. I want to thank you for your responsiveness. There's a real sense of responding to the Spirit of the Lord here in this room. I felt like I wasn't just orating. I felt like you were taking in the fact that God's promises to you were real. And you were owning them. And you're going to do something about it.
I want to thank you. I want to commend you as your pastor today. Because we don't have a whole lot of time on our hands. It's like that country song goes, we got a long way to go and a short time to get there. But how many know God can do a quick work? God can do amazing things. And today, I just want you to walk it out this week. Be salt and light. Walk in faith. If the enemy throws you a curveball, keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't get dismayed. Because when you're bobbing in the sea, like John Lorton was bobbing in the sea, when your time's not up, God's going to rescue you. Amen? God's going to keep you on course. He's got a plan for your life. You can do this. You can do this.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church weekly podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.